How's it going, everybody? Welcome to That Time of the Week. I am your host, Matthew Morgan, and today we are going to be talking about politics, mainly politics. So, the Senate has, I guess we'll just get into it as far as that goes. The Senate has passed legislation to force Trump to withdraw from Iran, but the vote was called off by the House. Now, I obviously don't know why for certain they did this, but I would assume it was to give the Republicans more time to gather some votes. I know the vote was headed, you know, not going to pass. I mean, I don't know that for sure, but it was pretty good and well on the verge of passing. I mean, they obviously called off the vote for some reason. They didn't shoot down the vote or anything like that. They just didn't have it. You know, I guess they, like, tabled it or something along those lines. So there is legislation to force Trump to, withdraw from Iran and try to put an end to that whole situation so we don't end up in another forever war. But I don't know how that whole thing's going to go. I mean, I guess it depends on if Mike Johnson feels comfortable enough to let it happen. I mean, I don't know how many times you're allowed to, or you can, or however you want to phrase that. You can call off votes, but apparently they have called off the vote. So it'll be back at some point, and I guess we'll see how it happens when they see how the vote comes down once the vote is actually taken. By the way, if you have anything you'd like to say, do feel free to call in 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Tulsi Gabbard has resigned as head of the U.S. intelligence. There's another one gone. Another one bites the dust, I guess, as they say. Now, I did read her resignation letter, and in her defense, in her letter, she said that her husband has a rare form of bone cancer, so I don't think she's lying. I don't think that's something you would lie about or anything like that. And she said that she's resigning so she can stand by her husband and assist him as far as his needs go. So that's good on her. I think that's probably the right move to make. But she did have a lot of struggles as U.S. intelligence, as head of U.S. intelligence. She at one point had said that Iran is not making nuclear missiles, in which Trump and the entire administration had to say, "Whoa, no, they're making nukes." And there were some other things that I can't recall off the top of my head. That was just one that I thought was funny. So Tulsi Gabbard is gone. I'm not sure who has replaced her, as far as the interim goes, but I assume somebody has replaced her. You know, you can't have nobody in the job for now. I assume there's going to be a vote held, by the end of the week to try to, by the end of next week, we should know by Friday, next Friday, who's going to be the new head of the U.S. intelligence. By the way, head of U.S. intelligence has got to be a very powerful job. The CIA, the NSA, the FBI, so on and so forth. Very powerful organizations. So there's that. So Cuba. As far as Cuba goes, Axios, citing administration officials, reported that Cuba had acquired more than 300 military drones and was considering using them to attack a base to attack a U.S. base at Guantanamo Bay, U.S. ships, or even targets in Florida. I think it would be pretty good for us to just, if we want to normalize relations with Cuba, I think it'd be a pretty good start to give back Guantanamo Bay. We pay rent, basically, to Cuba to use Guantanamo Bay, and I don't remember exactly how much it is, but it's basically nothing. And the Cuban government has been turning down the payments because They feel that taking the payments would, like, essentially, would just, it would give us bounds to stay there. If they don't take the payment, then I guess they feel that, that we shouldn't be there. But, I think that's fair. It's a fair assumption. I mean, you can't tell us to kick bricks and take the money at the same time. So, I think that that was probably a good move. So first move I think we should do is give back Guantanamo. I see no reason to have Guantanamo. I think Guantanamo Bay, you can't make things like the Geneva Convention and, like, you know, things like that for treatment of POWs and, like, Human Rights Watch things, and then just build a prison outside of the boundaries of that. That seems a bit, you know, for a country who loves freedom and human rights, apparently, you know, we don't. So there's that. I think we should just give Guantanamo back to Cuba. Solve a whole lot of problems there. And, yeah. And that would be certainly a... I don't, when I say give, by the way, I don't mean literally just give. I mean, I'm sure we could do something with Guantanamo to get you know, to give them back Guantanamo. They want Guantanamo back. I'm sure it's good leverage. But I think we should give them back Guantanamo. So there's that. And also, I think that if you undid the economic sanctions on Cuba, it'd be in good shape. Well, not actually good shape, but we would definitely be in a better shape diplomacy-wise with Cuba than we are currently. And also, 300-plus drones. I mean, it's 300 like, now, I don't know if these are, like, you know, UAVs, like, unmanned, like, drones that drop missiles, or if they're, like, because if they're suicide drones, I mean, 300 drones, sure, I mean, you know, 300-plus drones that have, that carry bombs are, you know, I mean, you could do a lot with that, but, I mean, you know, it's just not the same. I mean, you know how many bombs we've dropped on Iran? Like, you know how many bombs we dropped in Vietnam? Like, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Now, yes, Cuba militarizing, I guess, is not in our best interest because we are not allies with them. But we're not allies with them because we've kind of done them dirty a lot, I think. Now, I guess they kind of, you know, chummed it up with Russia at you know, or I guess the Soviet Union at the time. And, you know, there was the whole Cuban Missile Crisis and things like that, and, you know, the Castros and that whole thing. But Rubio told reporters, Marco Rubio, the Marco Rubio, the Secretary of State. There we go. Had to find it. Marco Rubio told reporters on Thursday that Cuba posed an imminent national security threat to the U.S. Saying, quote, Havana not only has the weapons they've acquired from Russia and China, but they also host Russian and Chinese intelligence presence in their country. And Trump himself also supports the unseating of the Cuban, that'd be end quote, by the way. And then Trump himself wants to support the unseating, supports the unseating of the Cuban government, saying, quote, other presidents have looked at doing this for 50 or 60 years, doing something about Cuba. Trump told reporters in the Oval Office on Thursday, and it looks like I'll be the one that does it, so I would be happy to do it. Why do we need to attack other countries? There's not a point. I think diplomacy is, in general, the best rule of thumb. Now, yes, I mean, there are cases, like, you know, World War II, in which diplomacy obviously wasn't working. You know, we tried to, we didn't really even try diplomacy, let's be honest. It was appeasement. You know, Hitler said, I want this thing, and we said, no, you can't have that thing. And then he took it, and they were like, well, that's fine, you can have that, but no more. And then it was just rinse repeat until they got tired of it, and then there was war. So, there's that. You know, it's the boy who cried wolf. So, right, there is sometimes calls for war and things, but it's very few and far between, okay? Compromise is king. You gotta be able to compromise if you wanna get stuff done, and, people are not trying to, to a compromise anymore. It seems everybody's like my way or the highway, and nothing's getting done. And the things that are getting done are just like stupid, in my opinion. I mean, we're at war now for no reason. I've said it before, I don't really care if Iran is making nukes. Good on them. We have nukes. Russia's got nukes. I don't know if China has nukes, but it wouldn't surprise me. I'm pretty sure Israel has nukes, but as the presidents like to say, we don't want to speculate. France, I'm pretty sure, has nukes. The UK, I'm pretty sure, has nukes. I think India might, if I recall correctly. Like North Korea's got nukes. Nobody wants anything to do with North Korea. I think we ought to just, we're getting a call here. Go ahead, caller.
You know, Obama opened up relations with Cuba.
Yeah.
Started some trade with Cuba and let people start traveling to Cuba, and Trump cut it.
I'm pretty sure he also started easing the economic sanctions on Cuba.
They probably put that on too, but Obama was wanting to...
He also, Obama also, I could be wrong on this one, I'm pretty sure he's the one that shut down Guantanamo, and then Trump in 2016 opened it back up.
Yeah, he was wanting to shut down, that, because there was prisoners of war over there, and guys that was supposedly tied to terrorist groups and stuff, and they never got no trial or no nothing, so he was for shutting Guantanamo Bay down or whatever.
Oh, no. The United States is mind-boggling.
How many aircraft we have lost in this war?
I do not.
42. Now, the government's not telling us this, but there's another credible source that's reported that we've lost 42 aircrafts in the war so far with Iran. And we have used, I don't know how many, we're kind of low on the bombs anymore because, the smart bombs can take time and a lot of money to build. When we was bombing Vietnam, back in World War II, those bombs was cheap. And those bombs could be made,
Yeah, those were very rudimentary bombs. Like, nowadays they have, GPS guiding and all kinds of things. Back in ye olden days, they actually had to, aim the bombs.
Right, and all that stuff costs money. So...
Well, we love to use the Tomahawk missiles, and Tomahawk missiles, it's probably more now, because this is from when I was in, high school, that this number was a thing, because we used some to bomb, I don't remember who, we used some to bomb something, and they're $250,000 a piece.
Yeah. And that's probably cheaper a bomb anymore today, especially, a lot, they got, bombs that are way more than Tomahawks anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
And drones and stuff like that. But, it's just ridiculous. And, if he says he wants to take over Greenland because China or Russia will do it, and that it's a national, military emergency for us to do that. But, you keep getting us in these wars, and China and Russia knows that we've spent a lot of our, inventory in this war. So you want to go start a war with Greenland and possibly Cuba and maybe even both at the same time? Now, wouldn't that be a great time for China or Russia to come after us? Knowing that we would have to fight a front on Iran, Greenland, and Cuba. We'd be involved in three fronts. That's what brought Hitler down invading the Soviet Union.
Well, Hitler kind of overextended himself in the Soviet Union. He wanted Stalingrad because no other reason than it was called Stalingrad. And he, you know, he overextended his troops. And also, the Russian winter was, like, in the process of starting. So then,
well, see, they didn't plan on that.
It was a whole big thing.
He thought they would go in there in 6 weeks and have that country taken.
Well, it's because they did that to France. In France, they did have France in weeks.
But that didn't happen. They made good progress at first, and then it started getting tougher, and then winter set in, and he wouldn't allow any of the commanders to retreat and regroup, you know? Germany used a lot of horses and taking weapons up to the front and stuff like that. They didn't have the cars and trucks and stuff that America had. You know, even our the average normal resident of United States had a lot more cars and stuff like that than the average German. So they was using horses. And you know what the Germans had to do when they was freezing to death and starving? They had to kill the horses and eat them.
Well, a lot of the horses froze to death. Russian winters are brutal.
And then after they froze to death, you might as well eat them, but they actually killed them sometimes, you know, to eat them. And, you know, so we want to be fighting on several different fronts and give China or Russia a great... When are they ever going to get a chance to do that again if we're tied up into three fronts?
Well, I mean, I don't think we would be directly attacked. I think that they might, like Russia might attack somebody else because they see that we have, because we're overextended. And China might attack Taiwan because they see we're overextended. Like, it's kind of like a...
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
And Trump even said that, Taiwan is on their own, that agreement that was passed. I forget what year it was passed. I think it was in the 80s that we would come to their aid. It's an old agreement, but...
I'm pretty sure Trump warned... I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure Trump warned Xi Jinping about attacking...
No, he didn't warn him. He said he really didn't care. That China trip made him look stupid. I don't know. I just wanted to bring that point in. I'll get off here and listen to you.
Alrighty. Sounds good. Thank you.
Yep.
Oh, sometimes the United States is just mind-boggling to me because, like I said, I mean, we're big fans of the human rights and all that, you know, good stuff, but, you know, we have Guantanamo Bay, so we can just get around all of it and, like, torture POWs for information. You know, that's not exactly what you want. One second here. I'm trying to find, I found a BBC article, yeah, Trump warns Taiwan against declaring independence hours after... I had it backwards. Trump warned Taiwan. That's crazy. But yeah, so, you know. Trump said he had made no commitment either way, I guess. I am sure... Trump said, we're supposed to travel 9,500 miles to fight a war. I'm not looking for that. I want them to cool down. I want China to cool down. I agree. I would like China to cool down. And Taiwan's really kind of already cool. China's the aggressor in this situation. But, you know, I don't know how far it is to Tehran. But Tehran's pretty far, you know. One second. Tehran. Yeah, yeah. Let me get on Google Maps real quick. Opening Google Maps. Directions. From, I don't know, my house. There are no directions. Can't seem to find a way here. Lots of miles, though. I don't know. Lots of miles. So, you know. I don't know. I think Trump's dumb. But that's me, I guess. So, yeah. Apparently, we feel Cuba is a threat to national security with Rubio saying that they have Russian and Chinese weapons as well as intelligence, and Trump saying that we've been trying to do something about Cuba for 50 or 60 years. Look, like I said, we don't need to attack other countries. Diplomacy is the best option. Compromise is king. Always has been in politics. If you want to get something done, you got to be pragmatic about it. You can't my way or the highway anything. And that's one thing I did like about DeWine. He was a rather pragmatic guy. Pragmatism gets things done. So yeah, compromise is king in politics. And, you know, this certainly is not compromise. I don't know. Like, I don't know. Cuba, like, okay. I don't even know what to say. Cuba's a national security threat? Come on. Cuba doesn't even have, like, during peak usage of electricity, like, 60% of Cuba doesn't have power. But we're concerned that they're gonna they've got bigger things to worry about than bombing Guantanamo Bay, or bombing Florida. They don't even have power in over half of the country. They've got bigger things to worry about than bombing Florida and Guantanamo. And, like, I don't know. It's a big talking point that they're, like, 60 miles from Florida or whatever. But, like, again, they've always been 60 miles from Florida. And guess what they've done? Nothing. There was the Cuban Missile Crisis. In which case, guess what? It was solved diplomatically. Like, I don't understand why all of a sudden we need to go to war with everybody. That's always been, like, Russia's MO. You know? And, you know, we're opposed to Russia. And, I don't know. It wouldn't be that hard to be friendly with Cuba. I really don't think it would. We just don't want to do it. Give back Guantanamo Bay. We can get something in return. I'm sure they're willing to give up something. It's Guantanamo Bay. They want Guantanamo Bay back. Give back Guantanamo Bay. We don't even have to completely get rid of the economic sanctions. Make some kind of, like, deal to ease the economic restrictions. They don't have to be... You don't have to win every deal. I know it sounds bad, but, like... I mean, I think being friendly with Cuba is a pretty good win. I mean, there's no reason we should have a, like, it's literally the whole Chinese-Taiwan situation. Taiwan's just a big thorn in China's side. It's the same thing, but backwards. China's communist. Taiwan is democratic. Big democratic thorn in the in the side of the CCP, Communist China. And it's the same concept. Cuba. Communist Cuba. Big thorn in the side of democratic United States. And they're really not, because they're struggling. Again, like, 60% of the country doesn't have power during peak usage. Which was, like, so, you know, peak use, I don't know, like, midday, probably. I don't know. Cuba's certainly not a threat. And anybody who thinks Cuba's a threat is crazy. Now, look. I was going to say I'll be happy to be proven wrong, but I really wouldn't, because I don't want to be bombed. And I really hope we don't bomb anybody else. But I don't think we should be bombing Cuba in a preemptive strike. It's Cuba. They don't have power. Like, they've got bigger things to worry about, like I said. Anyways, Senator Chris Murphy from Connecticut, he's on the Foreign Relations Committee, said, this is, I do believe, about the Cuban thing. I got it from the same article. I do think that as Trump gets, this is the quote, I do think that as Trump gets older and he spends his days sleeping and worrying about only about his ballroom, he's increasingly susceptible to dangerous people around him with dangerous agendas. And there is a crowd of Cuba hawks who have always wanted us to invade, who may think that they can take advantage of an increasingly checked out old man, and I just think that we have to be prepared for that. That was Senator Chris Murphy from Connecticut. I don't know for certain, by the way, I didn't have it written down here, but I'd probably wager he's a Democrat. you know, Connecticut. And, you know, Trump's an old sleepy man worrying about his barroom. I mean, that you know. Anyways, I don't think necessarily that is Trump is too old and tired and focused on his barroom. I think it's more like, I do think it's probably something like he put a lot of dangerous people around him. I mean, Rubio certainly got his whole thing going on with Cuba. And, like, you know, RFK certainly got his whole thing going on. So, like, you know, he just put a lot of people, I mean, I don't know what Vance's whole game plan is, but I don't necessarily trust Vance. Vance literally went from calling Trump a fascist to, being, like, Trump's biggest diplomat. And I don't even think JD is good at being a diplomat. I don't know. JD's certainly been busy, though. He's been traveling around the world trying to not get us killed. Or vice versa, maybe. Trying not to have Americans killed in conflicts. So, I do think Trump is easily swayed. I think that if you offer some, like, I don't know, some, like, tiny notion of how it'd be good and, like, kiss Trump's butt, like, long and hard enough, it, you know, he'd probably change his mind for you. I mean, I honestly believe, there's a reason why they give Trump a plane, and they gave Trump the FIFA trophy, and they gave Trump the Nobel Peace Prize, and, like, you know, obviously they're bribes, okay? I mean, you know, I don't know what else to say about that. Obviously, they're bribes. And thank God Trump's not dumb enough to use that plane he got. I'm certain it's bugged. There's no reason. Now, obviously, they looked it over and said, you know, I don't care. I feel there's some kind of problem with that. You got the leader of the free world, as we often call the president, on a plane paid for by another country. I guarantee you there's some kind of bugs on there. And if there's not bugs on there, I still don't trust the plane. And look, I don't think Trump's brilliant, okay? He's certainly not a smart fellow. Well, he's not dumb, I guess. I mean, I guess idiot savant is the term that Sam Donaldson uses. And I think that probably fits. I think Trump is very dumb, except in garnering votes. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I don't know if this is true, Matt, but I heard that the United States government has spent millions of dollars, you know, putting security systems and all this technical stuff on that plane.
I thought they gave it to a museum.
I want to research that, because I think I heard that we have put, you know how Air Force One has all that technical stuff to, you know, see if detect bombs or anything coming towards it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that I heard that. Check while you're there and see if that's right.
I will do that.
Okay.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Later.
All right. Well, I'll look into that, but, I mean, I'm reading an article now, so I guess I can read some. The Trump administration has accepted the unconditional donation of a luxury jet from Qatar with no stipulation. Qatar being the UAE, I'm pretty sure, the United Arab Emirates. Yeah, transferring ownership. The ownership of the plane went to the Trump Presidential Library Foundation. I don't know what they did with it, but I can look at that some other time and see what they've done with it. I don't know. Oh yeah, I think Trump's dumb. I think that's pretty much where I left off. Yeah, I don't know. Idiot savant. That's right. I think he's good at convincing people to vote for him, but other than that, he's terrible. I think he's good at conning money from the government and using the government to benefit him personally, but I think as far as running the government goes, he's incompetent. I mean, he's not even, like, I mean, the man probably, he doesn't have to pay taxes for the rest of his life now. I mean, he's not allowed to be audited by the IRS. Like, come on. The man already wasn't paying his taxes. Look, I think that I don't have any examples of, actually I do. Not of Cuba, but Putin can walk Donald Trump in circles. During COVID, Donald Trump gave COVID test kits to Russia. I don't know what we got in exchange. Maybe he bought them. Maybe it was a gift. I don't remember. Maybe we didn't get anything at all. I don't know. But we needed those test kits. And, you know, like, I don't know. There was just a lot of things that Donald Trump has done for, I guess, Putin and Russia that I don't, you know, he's not exactly brilliant. Xi Jinping, obviously he went to see Xi Jinping, and Xi Jinping talked that man into backing off of Taiwan. I don't quite understand what's happening as far as Trump's just not smart. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, if that slush fund deal and everything goes through, the agreement is not just Trump. Can't be looked at by the IRS or the federal government. It's all the Trump family. Any of the Trump family can't be looked at.
Is there like specific people named, or is it just like literally like Trump people?
Do what now?
I said, are there specific people named, or is it just like anybody with the last name Trump?
I don't know if there's specific people named, but I know the families, and you know, at least some of them's included in that.
Like, as I assume, at the very least, his
Don
kids and whatnot.
And, you know, Eric Trump and probably Barron. And
hey, have you heard about the Trump phones? Speaking of Barron Trump and Don Jr.
Yep, they're finally going to be coming out.
You think they're going to be any good?
Oh, God, no. They're supposed to be made in America. They're not. They're made in Taiwan or China.
You know, 1 second. Let me see if I can't pull this up real fast. But, Trump Mobile at one point, apparently Trump Mobile just had a data breach, so there's that. A lot of people's data was just exposed, so there you go. There's Trump Mobile for you. But also, let me see if I can't find it. But, at one point they gave a date the phones were supposed to come, and then they bumped it back, and then they gave a new date, and then they bumped it back. And also,
it's been a long time now.
Yeah, like a year and a half.
Yeah.
And at one point the phones were supposed to be 100% made in America, and then they were supposed to be touching American hands during production or something like that. And now it just straight up says that God, I wish I could find it. But I'm on Trump Mobile's website now, but basically they have somewhere on the website that essentially says that the Trump that there may or may not ever be a Trump Mobile phone.
Yeah, nothing but a scam. He should have brought it out, you know, a year and a half ago, and maybe would have sold more. I think the sales of it's going to be down a little bit now.
What?
Because he's got not everybody.
It can't be a good phone. I mean, you paid $500 for it.
What was that?
I said it can't be a good phone. I'm pretty sure the market price is $500 for it.
Yeah, and he's making $480 off each phone.
Yeah, probably. It's about like the Trump Bibles. I don't remember how much he paid to get the Trump Bibles made, but it was like pennies on the dollar.
Yeah. It's not just that. It's everything. He sold everything. Is there any other president that's been selling merch while they're in the White House?
No. I mean, there have been people who sold stuff to, like, garner campaign money.
He sells merch like these people do on YouTube, that have YouTube channels and all that stuff. I mean,
yeah, but, by the way,
I expect the president to have a little bit more time devoted to our country than worrying about all this merch crap he brings out.
Well, that'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's my opinion, but maybe I'm wrong.
By the way, the terms and conditions, it's the terms and conditions on the Trump Mobile website state that they cannot guarantee the 499 T1 phone will actually be released or delivered. Even though they've been taking $100 deposits for them.
Well, you know, I really don't feel sorry for all those people that put that $100 deposit on there. It's just like farmers. I have a hard time feeling sorry for farmers because 80% of the farmers voted for Trump, so I just can't feel sorry for them. And, you know, welfare and food stamps and all that for the American people, you know, that was socialist. But them getting some help from the federal government for, you know, to help keep their farms going, that's not. Isn't it the same thing?
Yeah. I mean, it's all government subsidies.
Yeah. If they get a subsidy, fine. But we couldn't subsidize people with this health care and all this other stuff, you know, so it's fine when the farmers give it. I mean, I don't want any of the farmers to go broke, really, you know, but,
I have a question. This is, you know, off topic, I guess, but do you think, Miguel Diaz-Canel, that's the, president of Cuba, and he's also, I think, the secretary of the Communist Party of Cuba. Anyways, he's, do you think that, given he has the means, I mean, Cuba right now is definitely not going to be able to walk circles around Donald Trump. Like I said, I mean, 60% of the country doesn't even have power. If Cuba had the, like, if they were in good shape, I'm pretty sure Miguel Diaz-Canel could walk circles around Donald Trump in, as far as, political astuteness goes.
I don't know about that. You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see Donald Trump and Joe Biden in a boxing match. I've been watching a little bit of Muhammad Ali's, you know, fights, you know, years ago.
What do you think about boxing? This is so far off from politics now, but what do you think about the state of boxing right now? Boxing, HBO Boxing has kind of done it. They're done. And it's
boxing
split into, like, a whole bunch of different organizations now. Like, one is called, like, The Zone or something like that. D-A-Z-N. I can't think of all the others. But there's a whole bunch of boxing organizations now.
Yeah, boxing is nothing. Like, you know, back in the 60s and 70s and even the 50s, you know, years ago, boxing was big. You know, it rivaled, you know, football and baseball, especially baseball back then. But, you know, it's not big anymore. You never hear much about boxing.
Well, the UFC's kind of taken over the fight game.
Yeah, that's what people like to watch now, is those ultimate fights. I think that's kind of hurt boxing.
Well, I mean, I think boxing's kind of done a good job of hurting themselves. I mean, like, they, for the long... I mean, there was the Muhammad Ali Act, which helped a lot. But, the Muhammad Ali Act... Or, sorry, but boxing, like, was kind of built around scamming the fighters. Like, promoters would get all the money and they'd pay the fighters, like, a fraction of it. And the UFC is the same way. If you, like, as a matter of fact, Sean O'Malley, maybe? Former UFC champion. I know it was the former champion. A former UFC champion, Paddy Pimblett. I think it was Paddy Pimblett. Anyways, he said that he got paid his first UFC fight $12,000 to show, $12,000 to win. So if he won the fight, it was $24,000. So, you know, they're paying these fighters, like, literally nothing.
Yeah, but I heard Muhammad Ali on an interview with Johnny Carson. I just watched this the other day. And Johnny Carson was talking about how he got $2.5 million for his last fight, and that was in the 70s, and Muhammad Ali said, yeah, and, you know, Johnny Carson asked him, you know, if he'd be willing to take a fight with somebody, and if he would do it for another $2.5 million, and I know you've been going through divorce and stuff here lately, and that started getting Muhammad a little, you know, jokingly upset. And he said it paid $3 million. Now, when you're big, you know, you can command that. But a lot of low fighters like that, you know, they never made much money.
Well, I mean, but like, even then, I mean, yes, $2.5 million is a lot of money. I mean, I'm not going to dispute that. But how much money did the promoters make? I guarantee you the promoters made infinitely more than he made off that fight. And he was the one who had to face the consequences. I mean, he was the one getting punched in the face.
Yeah, his body, he suffered consequences, not the promoters.
Yeah, and the promoters made at least, like, you know, 72% of the money, 72, 75, something like that. I don't remember the exact numbers, but, like, the large majority.
But baseball players and football players back in the 70s and 60s and stuff, they didn't make much money.
But I don't know if the baseball is. I don't follow baseball or hockey, or I only really follow football. I know football has a players' union, the NFLPA.
With the amount of money these players are making anymore, it's just unreal.
Yeah.
You know?
Matt Stafford is the first $500 million quarterback. Speaking of, that was one of my sports stories. He just signed an extension for $55 million for 1 year, with a max of $60 if he hits all of his incentives.
You know, Dick Butkus, back in his day, they didn't make much money. I wonder if Hank Aaron, you know, if he ever made pretty good money for what money was going for back in his day. I'm sure he didn't make no $1 million, you know. Heck, he played in, was it the 40s?
I don't know. I'm bad at timelines.
I don't think it was the 50s. I think it was the late 30s and 40s. Well, I could be wrong.
Hey, did you see?
He was married to, some movie star.
Did you see the leader of the Proud Boys said that he deserves somewhere, that he is owed somewhere in the mid-tens of millions of dollars from the DOJ Anti-Weaponization Fund?
Oh, that's stupid.
I agree.
I mean, I just don't know how the American people are putting up with this crap.
By the way, his name is Enrique Terrio, and maybe I'm pronouncing that wrong, maybe, but Terrio pointed out,
I'm having trouble hearing you, Matt.
Oh, okay, well, his name is Enrique Terrio, and, he pointed out that he spent time in solitary confinement, and he said that the FBI was meddling in his defense preparation for his trial.
Yeah, I don't know nothing about that.
Now, if there was any foul play in the trials, obviously I don't think foul play has any place in the justice system. I could get behind that. But I don't think that he or any of the other 1,500 people who were arrested should be set free. I think they should all still be in prison or jail or wherever they were. And they certainly shouldn't be getting a payout from the government.
Yeah, and they shouldn't have been given pardons in the dang first place. And how people, you know, didn't get irate about that. And I guess some of the Capitol Police officers are, you know, bringing a lawsuit up and stuff and trying to stop that.
Good.
You say the Trump and the Republican Party always said they was pro-law enforcement. But when you do this corruption, and if you get caught, it's just like hiding the Epstein files. If you're pro-law enforcement, how can you stand up there and try to hide those files? You're not pro-law enforcement. You're just for law enforcement going after everybody else, not you and your friends.
Well, that's about how it usually goes, yeah.
Yeah. I found dust of the rich people.
I'm pretty sure billionaires are just, like, exempt from the laws.
Yeah, most of the time they are. You know, they get out. they get out of stuff a lot more than what we think.
I mean, like, now the whole P. Diddy thing kind of died down, but you know, look at the whole P. Diddy case. I mean, I think he got 5 years. I mean, that man could have been locked away for life, but he got 5 years.
Yeah.
Them billions of dollars put in work.
Well, sometimes, it does come back to bite some of them, but, you know, very few of the millionaires ever are billionaires. A millionaire is nobody anymore in these days. It don't take much to, you know, help. A lot of people are buying homes for half a million dollars, and those aren't super great homes anymore. Real estate is outrageous.
And what do you think about taxing people who own more than, I've always said more than three, because I don't know, I'll give you a second house, because I don't know, why not? But, I think we should raise taxes on people, or like land taxes, property taxes, on people who own more than like three houses.
Yeah. I'd be all for that.
Every house you own is a house somebody else can't own.
And I think
you can't live in three houses at once.
Consumption tax. If you got a 16 room mansion and you're heating up by gas, you shouldn't pay the same price for gas that me and you pay. But they probably get a cheaper rate than what me and you pay. Over in Europe and I know England too, you know, there's consumption tax. If you want to buy a fancy car over there, you know, there's a consumption tax on that. If you want to buy the regular normal car, you don't pay. And, you know, how we say, you know, they got health care and stuff over there. But those countries are doing well. Canada's doing well. But we can't do the health care. We can't take care of people like we do over here.
Well, we spend all of our money on the military.
Millionaires like they do over there. I mean,
hey, I'd be in favor of universal health care and universal education. I think we could cut our military budget we could take almost $400 billion off our military budget and still have the largest military budget. Like, there's no reason we need to spend, like, the budget we have on the military.
Well, I don't necessarily think that we should be paying for people to go to Ivy League colleges and big colleges, but any community college should be no charge for people. And that would only benefit the country because we'd have smarter people.
Well, yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm not saying you do away with private college. I think it should be like the public school system or something. I think that it should just be free.
No, I'm not saying do away with them. If you want to get financial aid to go to them, that's fine. But college should be more affordable for people.
Well,
we'd have smarter.
It should be free for the majority of people.
Yeah.
Like community, like public colleges in like Ohio State is a public. It's funded by the state and you know the country. It should be free to go to. There's no reason I should also have to pay to go if you're being paid by the government and the state to have me go.
Yeah. It would benefit. Well, Trump was considering about bringing so many Chinese and stuff over here and putting them in our colleges, you know, because they could pay more, you know, a lot of those rich people over there could pay more than what the American people over here would pay. You know, and that's stupid. Why make them, their people smarter? We need to make our people smarter. Kids in college and high school and stuff over here already lag way behind. I mean, but over there, you know, their public schools and stuff they go to, they all do exercises in the morning and everything, and, you know, they're gung-ho about it over here. You know, we're gung-ho about having police officers in the schools and and, you know, permitting all kind of people to, you know, shoot schools up. And, well, heck, we just had a shooting the other day here in Marion. You know, a 16-year-old got shot. But if you talk about any sensible gun laws, the NRA and people, oh, they're going to take our guns.
We're
taking nobody's gun away. As a matter of fact, a gun saved me one time. Did you ever hear that story?
I do believe you did tell it. You somebody broke into your house and you had a pistol.
Well, he came right in the front door, never got locked when my brother left. And I thought the wind blew it open, but luckily out of the corner of my eye, I seen somebody walk in. If he would have waited 7 seconds longer, and I'd been in the bathroom, and come out of the bathroom, and here he's there, and he probably would have seen my gun on the table. I don't know if he would have killed me, but I bet I would have got beat a little bit, you know, for him to try to get me to give him money and drugs, which back then I didn't get no pain pills, but I do get some now. But I get a prescription for 1 month pain pills 3 times a day, and I normally make that last 3, sometimes 4 months. I deal with pain all the time. I'm used to some pain, but sometimes it just, my legs hurt. There's not a point they never hurt. And when I get up on them, they start hurting a lot worse. It takes my breath away. Sometimes I can barely make it in the kitchen or, you know, into the commode to take a crap. And there's other times I can go in the kitchen and stand there 3 or 4 minutes while something's cooking. I mean, I gotta deal with the pain, but, you know, my legs aren't feeling like they're going to drop. And, you know, that's my doctor, you know, when I need a refill, I call in and they give me a refill. They know I'm not abusing the pills, selling the pills, and I'm not going to get addicted to the pills either. You know, that's the reason why I don't take them all the time. Well, you're already overtime. I don't want you to blame it on me that I kept you over.
No, you're fine.
But I do like calling in on your show and listening to you.
I always enjoy it.
Okay, I'll talk to you next Friday, Matt.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Later. Thanks.
Later. Alrighty. Well, we are over. But as far as the whole school shooting thing goes, I agree school shootings are bad, but people love to talk about school shootings, but you know, the Kent State Massacre, nobody really talks about that anymore. There's other instances that I can't think of the names of, like there was I think Jackson State maybe is the other one I can think of off the top of my head. But I think the Kent State one was the National Guard, and I think the Jackson State one was Highway Patrol, or maybe just police. Nonetheless, anyways, shootings go all ways around, and, yeah, I think we should just maybe give people better training. But, anyways, with that being said, I do appreciate everybody for listening. I always appreciate the callers, and, I hope everybody has a wonderful night. Stay warm and dry. It's been chilly and wet as of late, so, good luck with that. Have a good one, and good night.
Hey, too. Did you have a clue?